Blog Talk Radio.
So many miles away, I want to see your face. Without them touching you, this place won't feel the same. This balcony feels empty, soaking up its vacancy. Where is the remedy, the pulse that brings life to me? Goodbye.
Radio. This is Holly Stuffy, and we're live today with Brendan McCose, and that's his new single, Goodbye, which is a follow-up to his EP that he just had recently released before, which we will talk a little bit more about. And I just want to say really quick, this is Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. If you would like, you can call us at 347-677-1036, or you can actually go into the chat room. You do need to create an account if you'd like to do that. And if you'd like to listen to this show later, you can listen to it as a blog talk download on iTunes or as a podcast on also Blog Talk Radio. With that, I want to bring Brendan on because that song is really, really pretty, and he has some really great music, and he's been doing a lot of traveling, and we're going to hear a lot more about what Brendan's doing. And again, this is Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio, live with Brendan McCose. Let me bring Brendan into the studio. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
Hey, pretty good. Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad you're here today. That song is just so pretty.
Thanks.
Goodbye. Yeah, that's a really cool song. I know that a lot of people are feeling that it's tugging on their heartstrings and stuff, and it's a ballad. Basically, what inspired you to write that song?
Well, I draw a lot of, you know, any of my music from personal experience, but I would say with that though, it was something that happened earlier in the year for me, but a lot of times
wow.
with a song like that, I'll depersonalize the lyrics by taking out like he or she.
Mm-hmm.
That way more people can relate to it. And that was kind of an example right there, I guess, in that song where I
yeah.
do things like that. That way, you know, more people can relate to it. I always know what it's going to mean for me, but at least you open the door for other people to relate to it too.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful reason. And what's really cool about it is it can mean a lot of other things to other people. I mean, everybody can find their own meaning for it, but that's a really, really pretty song. I know that that's a follow-up to your Late Night EP, which has quite a lot of really cool music on it. We're going to be closing with one of the songs from that EP tonight. So let's talk a little bit about how you started playing music and who you're currently working with and stuff like that. First, let's start at the beginning. How did you start getting into music? How did this evolve into what you're doing now?
Well, I was in back fourth or fifth grade. I was pretty curious about the guitar. I was
mm-hmm.
watching, you know, VH1, MTV, when they used to play music on those channels.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it perked my curiosity.
Uh-huh.
And my dad actually used to play, and he had a really nice guitar in the basement, and that pretty much stemmed it. And I made him start me, and then as soon as he had given me all his knowledge, I just kept it going.
Aww.
And it's always
been
something I really
like. Did he give you
your
first guitar? Did your father give you your first guitar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's so cool.
In the first couple.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So I want to ask you, who were your mentors growing up with music and stuff like that?
Well, the first CD I ever remember really latching onto was Eric Clapton Unplugged.
Yeah.
It was just a really cool, really cool album. You know, Tears in Heaven, Layla, and some of those songs,
mm-hmm.
you know, they kind of hook you. And then as you start learning those, you kind of figure out, wow, this Clapton guy's really amazing. And then you dig it. You kind of go backwards, and then you dig up all his old work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, this guy's more than amazing. So that was kind of where it started. A lot of my older stuff had a blues feel to it, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of my first influences were blues guys. Johnny
yeah.
Lang would be another one even.
Blues are
Robert,
great.
Robert
That's
Cray.
That's a great place
like
to start. Oh, love Robert Cray. Very love Robert Cray. I'm reading here that you saw Joe Walsh do on VH1 in a clip when he was with the Eagles, and you went through a lot of guitar god phases with Hendrix, Stills, and just a bunch of people. I'm reading some of your stuff here. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, guys like Joe Walsh and Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What I like about them is I have a good sense of humor, and they're great guitarists, but they're also very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of two guys I latched onto for multiple reasons, just because I enjoyed their personality as much as, you know, their skill.
Yeah, no. Now, you had earned a full scholarship to Drake University in regards to your musical passion, and also in track and field. Your track and field earned you a full scholarship to Drake University. And then you left to get into your musical stuff. So
Yeah, I went down to Austin.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much that was me not enjoying track and field because it got pretty boring and it was a long season.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd be able to do music at the same time. And when you're under, you know, I wouldn't call it regulations, but it practically is, of being a Division I athlete, you don't really have free time. So
mm-hmm.
music was taking not just a back seat, but kind of not even in the same car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, metaphorically speaking, I'd say, you know, so I really didn't enjoy the fact that I wasn't able to play at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 6-7 years prior, I was playing all the time. It was a weird drop off, and I finally just said, I can't do this. So
now, I mean, this is beautiful. The music that you're doing now is really, really cool.
Thanks.
What I wanted to ask you also was, as a young adult, growing up, you told me a little bit of the music you were listening to, but what were you really listening to that really made an impact on you besides watching VH1 and stuff like that? I know that your dad introduced you to the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and stuff like that, and then you started playing more stuff. But what were you listening to as a young adult that really made an impact on you?
Well, you know, the first CD I ever bought, the CD keyword, was actually the Red Hot Chili Peppers' One Hot Minute album.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought that was so cool, and it really made me want to be in this full-time at a very early age. Before I even played guitar, I owned that album, you know?
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't start playing guitar until fifth grade. I bought that album in first grade.
You did not? Are you serious? Oh, how funny.
It is kind of like,
first
I don't know.
Grade.
Yeah,
that's
the
great.
Definition of like sowing seed, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, no. That's really cool. No. That is funny. That's like my daughter.
I've always been a huge Chili Peppers fan. And.
Yeah, I know. I totally love them. They're great. They're really, really great. And great lyrics. And I've seen some of your playing on when you play. And you're very intense when you play. And you're very involved in your lyrics and stuff. I think that's really cool. So you've really gotten yourself really involved in your music. And you co-create with your guitar and stuff like that. That's really cool. What does it feel like for you when you're up there on stage?
Well, it's kind of like you spend so much time putting a show together that it's almost like a slumber party festival type thing. Every time you're on stage, it's like, wow, all the work I did, now this is kind of like the celebration. Just put it out there and have a good time.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it.
Well,
that's really, really cool.
Similar to the track and field thing, you know, like you practice all week and do workouts that are really horrible, and then you get to the day of your race and you only have to do it once. So you're kind of excited that it's the easy part.
Yeah, I know when you're on tour and you really have to actually set up, you have a lot of people doing a lot of things around you, and then you have to do your sound check and stuff like that. So it's really like being able to get into it and doing stuff like that is really, really exciting, because then you get to see the final outcome, which is you playing your music and giving people what they came to see, you know, which is really important. Which brings me up to me asking you, with you playing, and even it could be something even where you were not playing for a concert or something. Do you have any really memorable moments in your mind that really touched you in a way in regards to your music, with you playing and doing stuff?
Well, you know, your first, if you're asking like, do I have any like sentimental shows that stuck out more than others? I'd written a couple of years back, I wrote a song called Amen, which was about my grandpa, and he happened to be at like one of, you know, the last big shows I'd had before he passed. Mm-hmm. That song had just came out. So that one was special because he actually was able to make it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, just like, you always remember your first gig. You always remember your first bad gig. You know,
there are never any bad gigs now.
So, you know, where the cords come unplugged and
Deer and the guitar strings break.
But that's the whole point of playing live so many times, that now when those kind of things happen, I don't think anybody even knows. You know, you learn to hide it or move on, and yeah, I know, just keep things going. But yeah, I mean, anytime I write a new song, and there's a certain venue that really brings that song out. I've had some older songs like Life Eclipse on my first album. And when you're playing like a listening room, you know, some of those kind of more heartfelt songs really come out. I don't know. It just, sometimes the venue really can play to a song. Like when I play a heavy hitter venue in Chicago, you know, we stick to the rock stuff. We don't do any of the heartfelt ballad stuff because the room doesn't feel right.
Right. You can feel the energy in the air, right.
Yeah, so you kind of have to look at it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we do taper the set list depending on where we're playing.
No, that's kind of cool. Now, so who all else plays in the band with you? Who else is working with you on this?
So the main guys I record with and I also play with are all down in Texas. They're all in Austin.
Oh, wow.
My buddy Wayne Salzman on the drums.
Uh-huh.
Chris Marsh plays bass. And then David Boyle is the engineer, but he's also a really, really solid keyboard player. And those are the guys I work with on recording, and, you know, if we're putting together one of my tunes, they'll throw their 2 cents in there and try to make it, you know, as good as we possibly can. There were lots of parts to do
really
with that
cool.
Goodbye track.
Uh-huh.
So
it's important to have people that you trust, and it's important to have people that you know, and that you've played with, and that you guys all kind of like come together and really play, and it works that way. That's the most important thing. I think with a lot of musicians, they play with people, and you can feel if there's tension or something in the air. Tell me, what would your ideal tour be?
Ideal tour?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think if they could make a tour where it was nothing but pretty much like music festivals where you have huge crowds and the weather's perfect all the time.
yeah.
That would be ideal because you're getting the maximum for the maximum, you know. But I always thought it'd be cool to do like a House of Blues tour because all of the House of Blues look really different, you know.
Yeah, they do.
They have the same name, but they all have a different vibe.
Don't they?
You know, and I always thought it'd be cool to just jump on and be like, let's play all the House of Blues.
Which one is your favorite of the ones you've been to?
I mean, I think the Chicago one is really cool.
You like Chicago? Have you been to the New
Orleans?
Have you been to the New Orleans one?
I like that one too. I have been.
That
over there.
One has got such a great vibe to it, and the one on Sunset Strip is really cool too.
I have not checked that one out, but I've driven by it. So.
It's nice. They have a room in there called the Foundation Room that is so beautiful. The walls are all these beautiful Balinese hand-carved. It's a whole hand-carved Balinese wall. It's beautiful. The Foundation Room where, you know, you can go back to behind afterwards and kind of have your little group and your people there and stuff. Yeah, so House of Blues would be, like, your ideal tour. And now my next question is, who would you want to play with that you haven't played with? Or who would you want to play with that's live or not live, and why?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, you know, as every guitar player kid always would be like, oh, it'd be cool to have Jimi Hendrix or somebody on stage with you at one point. I would love to do something with Sting. Or Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
I love artists like them because they do everything. You can't even tell anyone what their genre is because they just do whatever they want. I think that'd be cool, and I think it'd be cool to do a show with the Foo Fighters just because they're one of the best rock bands I've ever heard.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is true. So that's the kind of music that you're listening to. What's in your CD player right now?
We've got a mixed CD with, like, Alan Jackson to Incubus to a bunch of, like, Texas rock guys. Texas country. Yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of that. An enormous foundation of my guitar playing is actually country.
Yeah, I like country music, you know. I've really gotten into it more, and especially since my friend is spending so much time in Nashville, and he sends me a lot of music from Nashville. That's kind of cool. I want to say to everybody that's in the chat room, if you missed the beginning of the show, that you can listen to the show on iTunes afterwards and also on Red Velvet Media on demand afterwards as a podcast download. And I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. If you have any questions, please feel free to type them into the chat room, and I will make sure that I talk to Brandon and I let you know. And if you want to call in, 347-677-1036. That's you know, what you guys can do. And, you know, this is really cool. So what are you currently working on right now, Brandon?
Well, I've been cutting tracks in Austin about every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I actually already have a new one done. It's called Different Way. And it's a really, really cool rock song. But if you liked country music, this would also float your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool vibe to you.
Yeah,
we'll probably
release
it later
cool.
in the fall. I mean, I got to let Goodbye kind of get out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tours planned soon that you're going to be going on?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Denver next week.
Yeah, I'm looking
then,
at your tour. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, go to BrandonMchose.com, and you can look at everything there. Yeah, I see that you're playing... looking
we'll
here,
be in
looking.
Denver, and then we're in Atlanta, and we're out in California, too. So.
Ooh, California. Yeah, you're going to be on – in September 26th, you're going to be in L.A. On the 25th, you're going to be in Atlanta. Yeah, I see. On September 13th, Denver. Then you go on, and you're still doing a lot of stuff. Really cool. You're going to be in Seattle, Portland. You're also going to do the APCA Central Conference. That's cool. Yeah, that'll be really great.
It's going to be a great fall. We'll be busy, and we'll be on the Southeast Coast a lot, and Texas, of course, is always on the radar for me. And
you like playing in Texas, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I spent a large portion of my career down there.
I like Texas, too. It's
really
cool music.
It shaped me, you know, and gave me my own identity in music, and I won't be in the Midwest for a while, other than for the AFCA concert, but otherwise, you know, when the weather gets
better,
you like
perfect
spring,
weather, I already
working.
Know that. Perfect weather and no rain and sunny skies. Yeah, no, I mean, those days are here right now, and it's really cool because we're getting into the fall now. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Tell me about on your EP that you just dropped, the late night EP that you did.
Sure.
How long, what went into that? And tell me about the tracks that are on there that you wrote that really, is there any one that really is your favorite, or are they all just really... all something that you, they're all your favorite. I can't ask you to choose one favorite.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I was just asked by Casey Bronston. Can you ask Brandon, what is your favorite song to perform live, please?
It's Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix.
I love Little Wing. That is so funny you said that.
Yeah, I do it in acoustic.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow. Do you have your guitar right there?
I could go find one.
You want to go find a guitar and play us a little something?
Sure.
I love doing this, people. I love doing this because you never know what's going to come out.
Let me see what I can find here.
Grab a guitar. How many guitars do you have?
Oh, right now, you know, it's a fluctuating number, but I think 9.
Wow. That's a lot of guitars.
You know, I've had guitars stolen,
resold them.
You know how it works.
Yeah, no. I totally get that. I have a guitar collection too, and I have them on guitar stands. They go around the room. I don't play guitar. They've just been given to me by so many different performers and people. So yeah, I totally get that.
That's funny. Well, yeah, to answer your question about the late night EP, that was a really interesting EP for me because I kind of partially recorded it in Chicago and Austin, and there were some bumps in the road in there. I got rid of my manager in the middle of that. You know, it was weird.
Wow.
It's a weird time to try to make an album, and it ended up being fine, but the process was bizarre. I can usually cut a song in 2 days, you know, start to finish, and have it mixed and mastered in less than a week. And this thing took, for 4 songs, almost a year. And
really?
There was a lot of, Yeah, just kind of, it's no big deal now, but you look back at it, you're like, wow. Only in the
music
industry.
It was a learning experience for you.
Yeah, and it was just, my favorite song on the album is actually the late night tune. It's just kind of a fun song that represents my personality. I really
mm-hmm.
like the Just Say When song.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun to play. Next Three, and then, that's another song on there that pretty much talks about, every 3-year increment of my career, because
mm-hmm.
that's how things seemingly were happening. And then there was kind of one track on there that just kind of lived on the album called Leave It All. I don't really play the song a ton, but I was glad I recorded it. But,
Yeah, go ahead.
We got that thing out in January, and, it seemed to get a lot of attention. So I couldn't really complain. Once it was done, I was really happy.
Wow, that's great. That you felt like you accomplished something and that you wanted to do. Hey, I want you to describe what you feel your music reflects for you. What how would you like to be described as an artist?
I'd like to be described as a guitarist, singer, songwriter.
A guitarist, singer, songwriter.
Yeah, just like with an emphasis on the guitar. That's what I would say at first. It's
mm-hmm.
not that my songs are all guitar solos, but I want people to know that that is where the entire song comes from. Always starts where I write the guitar part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really a strummer, guitar player. I'm a big fan of like guys like Lindsey Buckingham, so I'm into the finger picking thing. And I'd always want people to take away that, they're getting a package deal. And I don't necessarily have to have a band for the song to sound pretty much the same because, I can work ways around it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Did you find a guitar, Brandon?
I did find
Aha.
One.
What do you want to play for us?
I don't know. Do you guys want to hear some cool guitar playing? Is that what we're going for?
We want to hear something, yeah. I have another, Casey Bronston, we talked a little bit earlier about if his songs are based on his life. His songs, he said, Goodbye was based on a personal experience, and I think that pretty much talking with Brandon, he pretty much can say that most of his songs are based on his personal experiences, and however we all want to take those personal experiences and relate them to our own life is what he wants for everyone to get out of his music. Right, Brandon?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, you're a Little Wing fan, so...
Let's hear it. Go ahead. I want to hear it.
I'll save this thing in here. I'll just kind of play some cool guitar stuff for you guys.
Oh, cool. That sounds great.
But you'll recognize
it. Okay.
Thank you.
you go. There's a little clip.
Oh, my gosh. Yoo-hoo. That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. That was on acoustic? That's pretty amazing. Did you take lessons at all?
When I was young, I took lessons from my dad, and then I studied with a guy in high school that was really good. But we played nothing alike. He was the best teacher for me because he just kind of expanded my ear and my brain to kind of understand that there are different roads to be taken on guitar. So we don't sound anything alike, but he was probably one of the better teachers I could have come across.
That was so cool. And now when you do that song and you say you do it basically like all acoustic, like without anything, have you ever played that on electric? Have you picked up an electric guitar? Oh, yeah, I can imagine. You could probably wail away on that one.
Yeah.
I heard those little extra chords in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the acoustic thing goes over pretty cool because, I don't know, in a lot of ways I'm better on the acoustic than the electric. I don't know why that is, but...
Maybe you can hear yourself more, and there's a lot more emotion that can go into an acoustic guitar, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, what I always really liked the best about MTV or anything was the unplugged stuff that they did, where you got somebody down just with a chair or a stool and a guitar and a person, and... You know, that's like there, right there, like raw, real stuff. And, you know, if you can play, I mean, you just picked the guitar up and just played. So basically, you know, that's there, right there, is like you just have like it right in your heart. It's in your heart. It's part of you. Would you say music is really, like, really something that has taken over your life, basically, and you just like go with it and... You've like become this person that is really all about music and stuff like that. Do you do anything else besides music?
Well, yeah, I'm an avid Dallas Cowboys fan, so I got to follow them all fall along. And then, you know, I have a big thing with dogs, so I'm always around dogs. I've got one. I'm currently
you like
with
dogs?
Three. Schnauzers,
kind of
Yorkies, all sorts.
Really? What kind of dogs?
Two Schnauzers and a Yorkie right now.
I love Yorkies. I had a Schnauzer when I was younger. Yorkie. What's your Yorkie's name?
Marley.
Marley. What a great name. Aww.
Yeah.
Dogs are really cool, aren't they? Do they like the music?
Yeah. They don't like the wah-wah pedal, but they like everything else.
I can imagine. Oh, that would be so much fun. Did you ever, like, just throw your guitar in the car and just, like, go somewhere and then see somewhere on the side of the road and pull off and just start playing?
I haven't tried that yet, but
that's
I do
fun.
Take the guitar with me quite frequently, you know. A lot of times I'll be somewhere and it just makes more sense to just hang out and play a little bit. People usually listen. If not, that's cool. It's not like it was a concert, you know. So,
yeah, no,
so
I mean, you're
no
doing
stuff.
It for yourself, you know. That's, like, the fun part, you know, just being spontaneous and doing something. How do you find your inspiration for writing most of your songs? Are they, like we talked about earlier, some of them are based on real-life experiences and how we all want to put them? Or do you just get a song sometimes if you're out? Do you find yourself writing stuff on the back of napkins and placemats and stuff like that?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, even when you do write a song and it just doesn't work and you're just kind of like, I don't want to put that out, that's average. But there's a couple lines in there that you like, and then it's like, okay, why don't we start a new song with these two lines? You know,
that's
and then you
fun.
Have totally an idea.
Did you ever write a song and have some lyrics in there and then you've changed them, like, just because you just, like, at that moment when you wrote them, they felt right, but then later on when you played them, they just didn't feel right?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It happens every song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always a draft. I've never written a song start to finish where I didn't change something. I don't like to get held up on one word when I can feel that I've got momentum. So I'll put a few different words there and circle all three of them, as in, like, yeah, look at changing these. These aren't really vivid. They're pretty boring, but keep the song going because you're on to something.
So how is it for you? Are you just like, sometimes you'll, and all of a sudden you'll just decide, hey, I really want to write, I want to write a song about this situation or something, and then all of a sudden you just come up and you start writing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, songs can just come out of nowhere. I wrote one 3 weeks ago and recorded it in Austin the next week, and it turned out pretty cool, you know. And
wow.
It just happens, you know. I read quite a bit, but I kind of, like, not to sound stupid, but sometimes just to get new ideas, new phrases, you know, not like plagiarizing.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's a good way to expand, you know. When I'm in a writing funk, I'll, like, pick up a James Patterson novel, read the thing in about 2 days, you know, because they're quick reads anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What kind of books do you like to read?
Those are pretty cool. I mean, I'll read biographies, like Clapton's, you know. I mean, really, I like thriller books. Like, The Client used to be one of my favorite books, the one that they made a movie out of. Those Bourne Identity Supremacy books, those are cool. And then every once in a while, I'll pick up some science, sci-fi thriller that I can't understand half the words, and then I get bored, put it down.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to do that, you know, to get a book. You know, I know when I sometimes pick up a book and I start reading it, I start developing, you know, things that I'm writing, because I'm a writer too. I like to write things. I've never written any music, actually, but I've written a lot of poetry, and I'm in the process of writing, you know, a children's book. So,
wow,
you know,
that's awesome.
That's kind of cool, yeah. And, you know, it's like you get a lot of ideas. So I know for me, when you start, and also movies give me ideas too. What about you? Visuals and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not as much, but definitely help. Plus, if you see a movie that you feel strongly about, you can kind of face an emotion. You can find an emotion in there that kind of forces you to write.
What movies have you seen recently that you really like?
Well, I saw, obviously, the Batman movie. I saw the Bourne Legacy movie. But that's really it. I haven't been to many movies other than that lately.
Did you see The Hunger Games?
No, but I've heard the buzz.
You gotta
about
see
it.
That. That's a really good movie. Well, I mean, you know, it meant a lot to me and stuff like that.
I've heard quite a bit about it.
Yeah, I think that that really, you know, teaches me on a spiritual level. It really meant a lot to me, and it really brought a lot out to me. What movies did you see recently that really made an impact on you, that really helped you, maybe give you a thought about writing a song or something?
I don't even know. I'd have to rack my brain. I really don't know.
What about TV? What about television?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. I just started watching, and I missed it the whole time this was on TV, but I just started watching 2 and a Half Men. You know, it figures the show's, like, not even on anymore, and I just now realize that's actually a pretty funny show. But I don't really, like I said, I don't necessarily draw from TV. A lot of stuff you just kind of feel a certain way, and you see what happens on the pen pad. I wish I could tell you more. I've never really walked out of a movie saying, oh, I had to write something about this. It's kind of rare for me.
What about world events and stuff that are happening? What do you feel about that?
Well, I stay pretty current with the news, so, you know, I had a song once that was not war-driven, but it was called Heart for Duty, and it was pretty much about the soldier's personal side of war. There's no political meaning or anything. But it just, there was a time where the news was talking about everybody but the soldiers, just the politics of it, and I think people really overlooked the fact that there are a bunch of guys and women, you know, my age that are going over there, and they're the people not being talked about. They're just being talked about like a political move, you know. And so that prompted me to write a song once.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what about, like, your family? Have you been, like, they're obviously that your father supports you in your music and stuff like that. He feels probably really good about it.
Yeah,
what
my
about,
mom was really supportive, too. I mean, really, everybody was. She played piano and flute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though they're both medical, they do love music. My sister plays piano. My brother's really the only non-musical one.
Really? That's
yeah,
funny.
So, I mean,
your whole family's musical, huh?
Yeah, I mean, my brother loves music. He just doesn't play anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. He's a good person to throw opinions off of.
What, you know, it's funny, you know, did you take an instrument in school?
I didn't. You know what? In fifth grade, I remember you do like tryouts for instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to play guitar. And the teacher's like, well, you have to play a real instrument first. And then they actually suggested that I play flute. And I was like, oh, well,
I played flute.
Like, I didn't want to hear that. I was in fifth grade. I was like, I didn't want to hear that. So I just went my own way.
Yeah, I played flute, and I was banished to the basement every time I did every time I did practice. And then I remember my daughter coming home when she was like in fourth or fifth grade with a recorder. I think a recorder is like a mandatory instrument that all kids have to learn. It's pretty funny. What advice would you give to anyone that's listening, any young adult or any inspiring musician or anybody that's listening to the show today about wanting to play and doing anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if you're thinking of playing any instrument, you have to commit yourself to a certain level in order to be good enough to enjoy playing it. If that makes sense. Like, I hate golf. Because I'm terrible at golf. But if I took lessons for 5 weeks, I'd probably like golf a lot more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'd be good enough to enjoy it. And that's a lot of people, they get into it and they can't do it right away. You know, that kind of eliminates their drive. But I would just say that you got to really stick with something if you want to do it. And that tends to work.
Yeah, no, I totally hear what you're saying. You know, it's like, you know, when you get passionate about something, it's really important. So basically, to a lot of people that want to look for, you know, good teacher, check around, you know, talk to your family if your family's going to help you and support you in what you're doing. And I'm not talking on a monetary basis. I'm talking about on a spiritual basis and on a basis of you wanting to do something and encouraging you. And I think that's the best way to go, you know. What about your new EP that's coming out? Tell me a little bit more about that. What's that? When's that going to be dropping?
I haven't really picked a date because with radio, we're kind of deciding when the best time is. But for the most part, it's ready. It'll be another 3 or 4 track format. And then, you know, we'll drop it to radio and we'll do quite a bit of promotion for it. Goodbye will be on there. That's kind of the track we let out early so that people would be excited about it. But as far as that, I mean, I'd like to get it out, you know, before 2013, but it's very hard to tell. We got to see how other things develop first. But I'm still writing quite a bit and, you know, we could still add more to it. It just depends when we really, you know, decide to go after certain things.
Mhm. Yeah, I think that I think that it's really important also that, you know, that people know, what are your plans as far as letting people know, you know, when it's going to be brought out? What are your plans? How soon do you think it might be?
I think, I don't think it'd be before November.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on where I'm at with it right now. I think at that point, you know, releasing in November almost makes more sense to release in January.
Mm-hmm.
Because people get so busy with the holidays, I don't know that, you know, it's the best time to try to get exposure, but that's something we would acknowledge and investigate before we try to put something out.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
But
I think,
one thing I would say is all these songs are being played at my live shows. So it's not like they're, you know, not like people can't hear them. If they show up to the shows, they're going to hear all the new material.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a cool way to hear it. If you hear it live first, it's kind of cool because you always remember the time you heard it before it was recorded. And a lot of times it changes by the time you get to the studio. So I've seen that happen a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of times when you hear yourself too, you're your own worst critic, but I think there's a lot of really good stuff in what we do, and there's a lot of learning experiences too. So this new single, Goodbye, it's on YouTube as well, guys. And again, I want to make another announcement. This is Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. If you tuned in late because the chat room was pretty full, you can listen to the show in its entirety from the beginning on Red Velvet Media afterwards. It will be a podcast and will be on iTunes too. So make sure to check that out, and make sure to check out Brandon Mikoz's new single on YouTube called Goodbye. You have your own YouTube channel too, so I was looking at some of the stuff there, and it's kind of cool. There's a lot of really cool stuff on there. So make sure to check that out, and I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I want to ask you, is there anything you would like to say to everybody before we go today? And we are going to play a song from your EP that, you know, was before this, Just Say When, which I think
absolutely
is really great. What would you like to say to everybody?
Well, first of all, I'm very active on social sites. So if you ever want to look up where I'm playing or follow me on Twitter, my Twitter name is BMCHOSE, BMCHOSE. And, you know, I respond to everybody on that. And we're going to be on the road quite a bit, and I'm really looking forward to making some new fans on this upcoming fall tour. And I just appreciate all the support I've had to get me to the level that we're currently at.
Yeah, I think that's so cool, you know, and I think it's really important also that everybody can check that out. Also, make sure to go to your website, which is www.brandonmikoz.com. And on there, you'll see there's the homepage. There's, you know, you've got gear, you've got photos, contact, press, your biography, tour, sign up. You can even sign up, guys, in your store. And Brandon's on Facebook as well. And you can check him out on Facebook. And Red Velvet Media is on Facebook, too. So you can always check out if you can't find a show that, like with Brandon's show, you can't find it. You can always check out what the link is on Red Velvet Media, and then it'll take you right directly there. As for this show, again, it'll be available as a podcast immediately afterwards. And I want to thank you so much for being here. You're really cool, and I'd love to have you back.
Thank you. No, I had a blast. It was great.
Yeah, no, and it's fun to talk to you because, you know, it's like it's really interesting to hear when you talk to the artists themselves and you hear what makes them write what they do and what makes them play and what drives them and what makes them, what they're going through, you know, and reading and what movies and stuff. This is like, you know, really cool because a lot of people really don't know like the personal stuff unless they're personally in your life as a friend or family or whatever. So This is cool. This is a really great way for people to be able to understand what's going on. I do want to make an announcement next Friday. Make sure to tune in. I'm going to have Irina on. You got to check that out. That's really trippy. Irina, she's a new artist that's coming over from Russia. She's doing very poppy type music, and there's a video that I posted. Did you see her stuff, Brandon?
I need to check it out. I'll hop on.
She's
there.
Really a beautiful woman and or young adult, and she's got some really cool music. But it's so different than what you're doing. I feel that your music really speaks from the soul and the heart, and I feel that that's what you do with your music, and you do it really well.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you again so much for being here. Oh, and I want to thank Nicole at Miles High Production for booking this and for really, you know, cheering you on and being your big cheerleader. She's great. And Nicole is great. Isn't she cute? She's so great. She's got such a great personality. She's always in a good mood.
That's how it appears. It's been the case to me. So she's either hiding it or just she's that happy. I think she might just be that happy all the time.
Yeah, she is. She just had a birthday, so she was really happy about that. What are you planning on doing this weekend?
Oh, well, okay, so I'm in Iowa, and the big rivalry game is tomorrow. So I've been asked by some friends here in the great state of Iowa to go. So I'll be doing that, and then Denver next week, and then my birthday is coming up the week after, so I'll probably go to Chicago.
Oh, early happy birthday to you. Wow.
Thank you. Moving
so
up
to everyone out there listening, make sure you wish Brandon a happy birthday. Make sure you check him out on Facebook and on Twitter, and make sure you go to his website and everything, and make sure you listen to the show from the beginning if you missed it, and I'll catch everybody next Friday. And with that, I'm going to play a song from your EP that you just recently had out. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Take care, and have fun this weekend.
Thanks so much. Really
everybody, have a great weekend coming up, and we will be having Brandon on again really soon with all his new stuff. And here you go. And that was cool guitar playing, by the way.
Thank you.
That was really spontaneous. You never thought I'd ask you to play guitar live on the air, huh?
Put me on the spot.
Yeah, see, I gotcha. Okay, here you go.
Away, I want to see your face. Without them touching you, this place won't feel the same. This balcony feels empty, soaking up its vacancy. Where is the remedy, the pulse that brings life to me? Thank you. laughing, doesn't quite know why. Replay the memory stuck into her mind. And she feels the world is right, but something else is missing. Baby, know that I am risking. And please, baby, come with me. I've got what you need. And don't you worry again. Waiting for so long to show you who I am, all that you'll need.